So I have requested that Prabhuji, he is going to talk about reincarnation. Or agar samay mila to he is going to talk about the Kartik month.
No, you and are. You are going to talk about Kartik.
I am going to talk about. Okay. Hari Bol.
I'll give you enough time.
Okay. Hari Bol.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita, from Krishna himself, God himself. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. This statement by the topmost authority, Sri Krishna, helps us to understand the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is different from ordinary religious knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is that branch of knowledge which begins with understanding that there is a difference between matter and spirit. In the Bhagavad Gita, matter is considered to be something which does not endure. You take any material manifestation, it will not endure. You see every day, right before your eyes, how your body is getting older, not younger. You wish it would go younger, especially when you hit 40. But you see day by day that destructive element of time is little by little dwindling the body. But Krishna says, never was there a time when we did not exist. So this is very significant. We always existed. That is learned from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Indeed, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that for the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He does not come into being, has not come into being, and will not come into being. He's saying the same thing. You always existed, just as he, Krishna, himself, always existed. Unless this concept of eternal existence, past, present, and future is there, then there is no meaning to the word God. By definition, God is that person, thing, idea, which always existed in the past, exists at present, and will always continue to exist now. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you and me, we are his angsha, his fragmental, minute part and parcel. My favorite example to explain this concept, the sun and the sun rays. They exist simultaneously. One is the sun, and the sun exists independently of the sun rays, but the sun rays exist simultaneously with the sun. The sun ray is a minute particle of the sun. So, the meditation, yes, in bhakti we do meditation. This is the kind of meditation that is done in bhakti. Meditation on the Vedanta philosophy, amongst other things. But the meditation is, just as the sun ray is part and parcel of the sun ray has all the qualities of the sun planet, but it does not have the same potency. We have all the qualities of God, but to a minute degree. We also learn from the Vedas, from Vedanta, this material manifestation is going through three stages: creation, maintenance, dissolution. Just as there are seasons, we are now heading quickly to the winter season. We're fully into autumn, but come December next month, we will be in winter, and the seasons lap one after another. Similarly, the material creation is constantly going through these three stages, or three seasons: creation, maintenance, dissolution. There is a time when there is no material cosmic manifestation. But when that time comes, when there is no material cosmic manifestation, the spiritual world is existing. The material cosmic manifestation goes through a stage of manifest and unmanifest, but the spiritual manifestation constantly exists. According to Vedanta, originally, the soul, you and me, were residents of the spiritual universe, the spiritual sky. On one of the innumerable spiritual planets, or a resident of the abode of Krishna. Because we have free will, because we have minute independence, Krishna has unlimited independence. God has absolute independence. We have minute independence. We have minute free will. God has unlimited free will. But with that free will, one day, inexplicably, we made a choice. We had a desire. I would like to know what it is to be God. I would like to feel what it is to be Krishna. Exactly at that moment, one appears in the material world, because that experience of wanting to feel like God cannot be in the kingdom of God or the spiritual world. Impossible. That can only be experienced in a dream state. That dream state is called the material manifestation. And it is stated that when one takes birth in the material world, one is immediately building his karma. Karma means I make a choice, I make a decision, and based on that decision, I get a reaction. That is karma. It is a constant series of choices I make, you make. And based on those choices, this material world, which is like a machine. That machine is dictated by Krishna, by God. He has set the whole mechanism up. And depending on the choices, one gets different results. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Basically, there are three ways you can go. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. The Bhagavad Gita clearly explains the results of these three modes are not the same. One choice leads you higher and higher and higher and higher. One keeps you right where you are, and one leads you down. Human life is considered the junction, like a terminal. Say you go to a airport. In the airport, there are different terminals, and there are different schedules of flights. Depending on which flight you take, you go to a particular destination. Human life is just like that. Some of us are in the terminal called Tamogun. We are flying our airplane, but we like the Tamogun Airlines. Some of us like Rajas Airlines, passion. And some of us like Sattva Airlines. Now, here we are. We each have our own particular material body. Bhagavad Gita explains everyone has a material body and everyone has a particular kind of mind and a particular set of senses. Everyone's existence is unique. That uniqueness has been cultivated for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. How can that be? How can that be? Here's the answer. The gross body, which we see, there is also an internal or subtle body that nobody can see. But you know it exists. You are thinking, I am thinking. You are seeing, I am seeing. Now, that subtle body, what is that subtle body? Mind, intelligence, ego. Mind, intelligence, and ego is also a subtle covering. Just like you have your gross or your outer clothes, and you also have your undergarments covering the body. So the soul, situated in the region of the heart, is covered by a gross body and also covered by a subtle body known as mind, intelligence, and ego. That subtle covering covers the soul in the heart. At the time of death, a movie that's coming to a theater near you very soon, at the time of death, the soul covered by that subtle body goes to another gross body. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains the concept of the yantra, the machine. Krishna says, you are seated as on a machine made of material energy. He's talking about the soul. Just as you all have had experience, the car you're driving now most likely is not the first car you've had in this lifetime. And if you have applied yourself, generally you upgrade to better, nicer cars. Similarly, the soul wants to, well, could want to, but the soul has an option of upgrading the material body, and the soul also has a choice of degrading or stay the same. It depends on desire. It depends on the choices I make. That is why it is imperative. One should know what is going on. One should not live like the animals, oblivious. That's why it is very, very important that one read the Bhagavad Gita. One should know what kind of actions lead me upward, what kind of actions keep me the same, and what kind of actions take me to lower and lower forms. And one should not be a whimsical. Even Krishna says that in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by the statements of the Shastras. It's not a question of I feel, I think. No. Just like there is a vehicle code, you are supposed to know what are the laws of driving a car. As soon as you get your license, as soon as you go on the street, it is expected that you know the laws. And if you say to the policeman as he pulls you over, you cannot say to the policeman, or you cannot say to the judge, I didn't know. That excuse won't go anywhere. You will have to pay the fine. So therefore, ignorance is no excuse. Therefore, Krishna has left behind us Bhagavad Gita so that we will know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Because depending on the choices I make, depending how I drive this car that I have now, every one of us is going to a different destination. That is reincarnation. Reincarnation is you get this body, it is a lease. Just like you can lease a car. At the end of the lease, you have to turn the car over to the leasing company. This body is on loan. It is not forever. And depending how I use this body, then the next one comes. Therefore, it behooves me to know, I know what it's like in this body. And I've seen, I have heard, I have read. Depending on where you live in this world, your living condition is different. Here we are living in California. Would you want to live a couple of weeks ago on the East Coast? You were thanking God, weren't you? You saw the pictures. Maybe you have relatives. I have my family on the East Coast. The scenes on the television were very graphic. How many of you were thinking, when is our turn? So, that's just here. You all know better than me. There are places in India you don't want to take your next birth. Am I right? You would like some, but there's some, uh-uh. Or Africa. You want to take your next birth in Sudan, Darfur? That's why it is very important. Better know that what you're doing is actually going to give you a better birth. It's not a mystery. Bhagavad Gita is very clear. It's there. Now, there is one more thing. I mentioned you can upgrade to better and better and better bodies, better lives. You can go and become a demigod. You can become Indra, king of heaven, for some time. Now, there is another option. That option is called going back home. Because I said, originally we were in the kingdom of God. We made a mistake. That mistake got us eventually here. That mistake can be rectified. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, if you surrender to me exclusively, where's my bell? That's the key. Exclusively. Then, I will tear up your karma. This is the ultimate bailout. Every one of us has a karmic debt. Yamaraj has good accountants. They don't miss anything. And it has our name on it. You did this. Just like the police, when they pull somebody over, they have a computer in the car. If the person is a criminal, they can print out the rap sheet. Ooh, we caught somebody here. This guy has done this. You've seen it on so many TV shows. It's not a joke. It's real. Yamadutas, Yamaraj, they got it. But Krishna says, if you surrender to me exclusively, all is forgiven. He says, moksha yishyami. Yes, I will deliver you. Krishna says, I will deliver you. That Krishna, same Krishna. He says, I will deliver you from your karma, but you have to surrender to me exclusively. That's the caveat. Exclusively. And that could be another lecture for another day. What that means. Exclusively. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's incarnation for the age of Kali, takes this statement of Krishna and makes it easy. Lord Chaitanya is like the loan officer. I'll make it easy for you. Just chant Hare Krishna. You want to surrender to Krishna exclusively? Just chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, the question may occur, can you tell me more about what is determining my next life? Yes. The key is desire. That's the key. At every moment, we're desiring something, even right now. That desiring is how you know you're alive. A dead stone can't have any desires. Only a living soul can have desires. The Buddhist philosophy is stop all desires. That's not possible. As long as you live, you will have desires. The question becomes, what is the nature of your desires? Depending on the kind of desires, then you're going to get a subsequent body to fulfill those desires. Take, for example, a famous athlete, a powerful singer, politician. That didn't happen overnight. That particular individual, I'm talking about the big ones, they have been cultivating that for many lifetimes. It all starts with desire. So now I have to ask myself, and it requires complete, brutal honesty with oneself. This is what we talk about in introspection. A person on the spiritual path is always introspective. A person on the spiritual path is always psychoanalyzing oneself. What is my desire now? Am I desiring to enjoy? Am I desiring to be independent? Or is my desire, no, Krishna, I want to come back to you. No, I want to do this. I want to become president. I want to become famous. I want to become rich. I want to become powerful. There are so many millions and millions and millions of desires, but basically there's only two. There's only two. I want to serve God, or I want to be God. That's it. Now ask yourself right now, what are you desiring? Are you desiring to serve, love God, or something else? That will give you an idea of what your next life is going to be. Here is another concept. Here's another concept. Again, introspection. If you analyze yourself, you will see, I have a certain kind of psychophysical nature. Everybody has a psychophysical nature. That particular psychophysical nature is a result of previous lives. Because remember, that mind, intelligence, and ego has been with you ever since you entered this material world. The gross body has changed, but that subtle body has been cultivated. So therefore, your nature, your proclivities, your likes, dislikes, your philosophical leanings, all the things that make up your personality, I have been cultivating perhaps billions of lifetimes. So, question is, ask yourself, you want to take birth again? Krishna gives you free will, Krishna gives you choice. He's not twisting your arm. What does Krishna tell Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna, I've told you everything, but now you decide what you want to do. Krishna deals with Arjuna as a gentleman. He's not twisting his arm. He doesn't have a gun or an arrow to Arjuna's head. Do what I say or else. No. Krishna explains Bhagavad Gita and he says, okay, I've told you. Yateshyasi tatakuru. As you like, you do. So now, ask yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. But ask yourself, what do I want to do? Do I want to return to Krishna, my home? Or, no, I got a few more dreams to work on. Got nothing to do with me? It's your choice. It's your choice. As for me, I decided in 1973, I want to return to Krishna. That's why I surrendered to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna. I had seen enough. I was 23 years old. I had seen enough of this material world and I said to myself, if that's what it is, no thank you. I'm going to give the rest of this life to Guru and Krishna. Best decision I made in my life. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here right now. I probably wouldn't even be alive. I would probably be in another body, and not a good one, the way I was going. But by good fortune, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I was able, and by Krishna's blessing, I was able to make that choice that I am going to give the rest of this life to Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates, and I see little by little by little, I am heading back home, back to Godhead. And what's so nice, what is so nice about Krishna, that say, at the end of this life, I am not 100%. Say there is still some material desire lingering. Krishna will place me in a particular family where I'll have another opportunity to continue. That is the greatness of Krishna. He doesn't say, oh, you didn't choose me? Go to hell. No. I made some progress. I'm not 100%, 100%. Krishna says, fine. Just like you know, Bharat. Bharat was the son of Rishabhdev. He was this close to perfection. This close. At the end, he became attached to a small deer. What happened? He had to take birth as a deer. But as a deer, Krishna gave him special benediction. He knew he had become a deer, and he knew why he had become a deer. Remember, he was this close. He had to spend one life as a deer. He repented as a deer. His next life was a Jadabharat. As Jadabharat, he became very determined. Again, he knew, hey, I was just a deer. I ain't going to mess up this time. This time, no nonsense. He was very determined. After one life as Jada Bharat, he did it. He returned back home, back to the kingdom of God. But the idea is, see how nice Krishna is. Some religions have a very harsh understanding of God. When I came to Krishna consciousness, when I heard from Srila Prabhupada, when I started to read Bhagavatam, my understanding of God became very, very much broadened, expanded, uplifted. I understand that Krishna is a loving God. So now, I may not make it in this lifetime, but eventually, I will make it back home, back to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Kakani now will explain to us the glories of this month of Damodar.
Hare Gaur. Before I explain the glories, I have one question.
Okay.
The question is, I guess, when the soul departs this body, physical body, does it do the atonement before it takes the next birth, or immediately is transferred to the next world?
I was just asked this question last week. My understanding is this, that the next birth is immediate, but there is a time, you could say nanosecond. So we're talking about the person who has to go to hell. You talked about atonement. So the person who goes to hell, hell is on a extremely subtle, subtle platform. You all have experience of dreaming at night. The actual dream may be a minute, a little bit of time. But in the dream, it may seem like years in the dream. But in reality, you were only dreaming a little. But to you, you experienced it. Could even be a whole lifetime. Going to hell is like that. That persons who go to hell, they have to suffer. Just like this Colonel Sanders. He has killed billions of chickens. So, he'll be a chicken and have to be killed billions of times. So, for him, it will seem like billions of lifetimes, but his next gross body is like that. That is my understanding. That is how I understand it. You get your next, but the interim time between this body and that time is when you go to hell, and then you take your next birth. If you are elevated to the body of a demigod, you wake up, bam, you're there. Okay? That is what I understand. That's the best I can explain. You're very welcome.
Now regarding the